Chapter 77. Theron. This was it. It was now or never. Theron's hands were wet with perspiration as he wiped them down the backside of his torn trousers. The outline of his plan, what little there was, lay open in the forefront of his mind. His recent confrontation with the Arch-Chancellor in the Chamber of Purging had waylaid all hopes of acquiring the necessary time for designing a more solid stratagem. Unfortunately, in Theron's experience, life rarely gave you what you wanted, and only occasionally what you needed. Last chance. Theron cast a sidelong glance at the old man bound in the far corner of his cell. You can still come with us.
Alas, no. My path is here, my friend. There is another who will need my help. And like you, his destiny is yet to be shaped. We each have our role to play in this pattern of life. And this is mine. But I pray the Creator's blessings on your journey.
Azrael sat slumped over in a dejected heap, his skin blotched, hair falling out, and clothes all but gone. Theron choked back the lump building at the back of his throat.
I'm going to miss you, old man, he admitted, waiting to wipe the moisture from his eyes until he was out in the hall. He didn't want to show such a strong emotion in front of his cellmate.
Is there anyone I can contact for you? You know, let them know you're alive.
Azrael's head lifted slightly.
I have a son. His head lowered. Or at least I did. He was only a boy when I was taken. And that was... Well, let me see.
Raising his hand, the old seer counted his fingers.
I have moved rooms 37 times, which means I have been here going on 38 years.
His shoulders slunk with a heavy sigh.
He would be a grown man by now. Probably have kids of his own.
What's his name? Where do you live?
The seer's posture perked, and his tone went from melancholy to borderline jovial.
Well, he had a small place on the eastern side of the Sidaran forest. Not sure if it's still there. Quiet little place, you know,
he said, as his bushy brows rose over his eyes.
The kind where a man could do some serious thinking, and never have to worry about pesky neighbors always wanting to get into your business.
Azrael started to ramble, something he tended to do more often of late. But how could Theron fault him? Here was a man stripped of his home, his family, and locked away for his entire life within the walls of this tower of death. He couldn't even begin to grasp the reality of it.
He won't be there, though, Azrael continued. Nope. He never enjoyed the solitude it provided. Always wanted to be going into town to see his friends. Of course, he wouldn't have admitted it. But I knew it were more than just his friends he was going to see. Yep, when a boy his age starts picking flowers on the side of the road, and it ain't for his mother, well, there's only one other explanation.
The old seer's mouth split into a toothy grin, and he chuckled. Theron knew he couldn't wait any longer. As much as he enjoyed Azrael's company, he was running out of time. He would either make his escape tonight, or he would be facing the purging chamber as soon as the Chancellor returned. Slipping his hand into his side pocket, Theron's fingers tightened around the small familiar piece of rock. Pulling it out by its tarnished chain, he slid the transferal over his head and around his neck, dropping it beneath what little remained of his soiled tunic. It had taken a great deal of faith on Rhea's part to relinquish the crystal. He had been the last prisoner questioned that evening,
which gave her the slight hope of not being caught without it.
He had exhausted every last drop of charm and logic he could muster to get her to agree to his plan. He knew it was a long shot at best, but he also knew he had no other choice, and, being unequivocally bound to his fate, neither did she. As soon as the transferal touched his skin, it activated, and as long as he kept it within a certain distance of his body, he could use its powers to enhance his natural abilities. However, the opposite was also true. The farther away it was, the weaker its use. Baron could already feel the change within himself. Having spent as many endless hours as he had, sweating away in his forge, using his transferal to shape iron and steel into weapons of unusual power, he was well aware of its influence. He walked over to the seer and knelt down beside him. Grabbing hold of the cuffs digging into the old man's feet, Baron closed his eyes in order to concentrate. He could feel the familiar fires of magic within him building. He had forgotten how much he had missed that sensation. How good it had made him feel as the clarity it gave washed over him. It was powerful. He opened his eyes and rubbed gently around the inner edge of the rusty rings. The hard iron was like clay in his hands. It stretched and formed around his fingers, bending to his will. Once finished, he started on the other foot, and then the wrists and neck. By the time he was through, each of the manacle's diameters had been increased in size by at least a couple of fingers, allowing for a more comfortable fit. As a finishing touch, he smoothed the sharp edges that were clawing into the seer's skin. Azrael laid a shaky hand on the side of Ferron's face.
"Thank you, Ferron. May the Creator guide you down the right path and make you a stumbling block to your enemies. Oh, and don't be afraid to accept help from others, even if it comes in the most unlikely of places."
Ferron stared into Azrael's green eyes. Was that a prayer or a vision? He shrugged. He left the old man sitting there and headed for the door. In his hand, he held a small clump of metal he had managed to extract from the seer's anklets. He lifted it up to the keyhole and let his magic take over from there. The small metallic ball took on a life of its own and started to grow directly into the lock. He could feel it forming into place, settling against the inner mechanisms of the tumblers before hardening back into solid form. Ferron flipped his wrist, and the lock snapped. He pulled back the inner latch and cracked the door ajar. Peering out into the dark passage, he waited, listening for any sound of movement in the corridor beyond. Satisfied that no guards were patrolling within earshot, he opened the door far enough to slip through. Twisting his head around, Ferron's eyes settled on the silhouette of the old man, possibly for the last time. He burned Azrael's image deep into the recesses of his mind, never wanting to forget the time he had spent in this place, or the friend he had made in doing so. Taking a deep breath, Ferron exited the doorway, but before swinging it shut, he turned around and stuck his head back inside. "Oh, I almost forgot. You never told me his name." Azrael's head pivoted in his direction.
"What's that? Whose name?"
"Your son. There in Sidara. What's his name?"
"Kellen," Azrael said with pride. "His name is Kellen. We had a cottage just outside of Easthaven."
Kellen. Easthaven. Ferron stored the information away for later as he passed one more smile off to the old seer. He moved back into the corridor and forced the door shut behind him, locking it into place. He paused for a moment to let his eyes adjust to the surrounding light, or lack of it. Proceeding down the hall to his right, Ferron made for the door he knew would be just around the next corner. He kept to the balls of his feet to soften his passage across the cold stone. Peeking around the corner, he could see there were no guards posted outside the cell's doorway. Good. At least one part of what they told me was true. Now to find the storage rooms.
Downward he climbed through the dark, winding stairwells. The sound of rodents scurrying about could be heard intermingled with the whimpers coming from locked doors on either side of the corridors he travelled. One more flight down, and he would leave the prison ward behind.
Quietly, Theron stepped off the lower landing and rounded another familiar corner. He started down the bare hallway. There were no prison cells in this section of the tower's fortress. He had made it partway down the long passageway when a member of the Black Watch stepped out from the far end. Theron dropped to his stomach. He didn't think the man had seen him. He crawled into a nearby doorway and hoped the guard would pass by without noticing.
Trying the handle, he realized it was unlocked. There was no light emanating from the other side, so he eased it open. To his surprise, it swung on its hinges with minimal resistance and noise. Closing it behind him, Theron waited.
With my luck, this is probably his bedchambers, and he's just getting off a 2-day shift. Holding his breath, Theron whispered a silent prayer into the darkness as he anxiously listened to the guard's approach. The scuffing of the man's boots on the floor, the clanging of his sword against his hip, even the clapping of his halberd's butt end as it struck every third tile. From just outside the door, the noise of the sentries passing went abruptly still. Oh, great! My luck hasn't changed a bit. He felt around his pockets for anything he could use as a weapon, but apart from pulling off his raggedy shoes and beating the armed guard to death with them, he had no other resources. Retracting his hand, he pulled out the key. Quickly, he used his magic to shape it into something with a point. At the very least, he could use it to puncture the man's neck. He flattened himself against the wall at the far end of the door, so as to remain hidden when the guard first opened it. Theron waited, his metal pick held at the ready between his thumb and first finger. Time seemed to stretch on forever. He had no idea how long he had been standing there before he heard the guard continue on down the hall. Theron released the breath he'd been holding. Not wanting to waste time, he quickly made his way around the room, hands held out in front of him as he tried to determine where he was and if there was anything of value worth pilfering. As luck would have it, there was. Theron guessed the room was some sort of office for one or more of the Inquisitors. He had knocked over a chair, banged his knee on a desk, and tripped over a small trunk, allowing him to test the cleanliness of the stone floor with the side of his face, before finding a large cabinet near the back of the room, which held a few odds and ends, along with, most importantly, a large shoulder pack. Running his fingers over each object, he determined which to leave and which to stuff into his new satchel. After bagging everything he felt would be worth salvaging, he took the time to listen for the shuffling of feet in the corridor beyond, before sliding back the door and stepping into the empty entranceway. He pulled back the latch, and the door clicked into place. Theron hoped no one would notice the missing items until he was safely out of the tower and well on his way to freedom. His stride increased with each new step. Time was running short. He needed to get to the other side of the long hallway before any other unexpected guests arrived. Theron glanced down at the bag bouncing in time to his footfalls and smiled. Maybe my luck is finally starting to turn. The scraping noise of a latch being pulled from the opposite end of the hall spun Theron around. And then again, maybe not. He sprinted for the open stairwell ahead. Practically diving onto the hard steps, he passed into the shadows beyond before two guardsmen stepped into view. He clutched his stolen goods to his chest to keep them from banging on the stone.
Perrin took a moment to wipe the sheen of nervous sweat from his forehead, as well as rub the corner of his knee, where it had smashed on the second step. He crept his way down the remaining steps, pleading in the most reverent fashion that there was no one on their way up. To his relief, the stairwell was empty. The landing opened into a circular vestibule with multiple corridors on every side. He replayed the route in his mind, from what he had pieced together in his many conversations with the tower guards. The entry arches all looked the same. His eyes scanned the passageways on the right side. Third corridor on the right. Fourth door on the left, he said, before heading in the general direction of where he had been looking. Hugging the walls as he made his way around the room, he angled down the third archway and counted off the doors. 1, 2, 3, and here we go. 4. Pantry storage. At least I hope it is. To his surprise, the door was unlocked, and the room already lit by a bracketed torch. He pushed the door behind him and dropped back the latch. Well, that's convenient. Scanning the room, it didn't take long to realize that he had somehow either forgotten how to count to 4, or had managed to mix up some of the details of the information he had gleaned from his captors. There was no food in sight. However, there were blankets, linens, and pillows aplenty. Perrin dug through the heavy blankets and stuffed 3 of the most durable inside his pouch. While leaning over to extract a small coil of twine, he heard the latch on the door behind him flip open. His back was to the door, leaving nowhere to hide. He was trapped. Perrin could feel his pulse racing from the sudden pounding in his ears. Reaching into his pocket, he slipped the small metal poker between the fingers of his right hand.
Who are you? The guard demanded. What am I going to do? I can't run. I can't hide. If I turn around, he's going to recognize me.
Actually, he mused, that might be a good thing. Perrin turned. Thankfully, there was only one guard, but who knew how long until more showed up?
I'm Perrin, he answered, with about as much confidence as a blind soldier on a battlefield. I was told to take these to the Inquisitor's quarters. Extra blankets for the cold.
He watched the man's eyes as they studied Farron's face. He also happened to notice the guard's hand was gripping the hilt of his sword, which, for the moment, thankfully, was still sheathed at his waist.
Look, Perrin said, they're going to be pretty upset if I don't deliver them. And trust me, coming from someone who knows what they're like when they're angry.
He lifted the bottom of his ripped tunic, revealing the half-healed lacerations across his waistline.
You don't want to get them upset.
He moved to step around the guard and head back in the direction he had come, when the man's hand reached out and grabbed his forearm.
Wait.
Perrin didn't move. His hand was still clutching the small piece of metal in his right trouser pocket. He slowly lifted it out.
Better take a few more, just in case.
The guard stepped into the room and hefted a couple more blankets from one of the bottom shelves and tucked them under Farron's arm. Perrin smiled.
You have a point. Better safe than sorry, I guess.
He bowed his head respectfully.
Thank you.
Moving through the open doorway and into the dim hallway beyond, he retraced his steps to the main chamber. Taking the adjacent archway, he continued on. No more stops for him, he decided. He attempted fate 1 too many times this evening. He needed to find Rhea and her daughter and get out of there.